Hey, we're back for another episode. It's probably Sunday, or maybe it's not, who knows? I heard a man say once that his heart was in the east, with him at the edge of the west. I felt the tension in his chest. That gnawing, aching anguish when you know that your soul has been split in two, with one half resting with you, but clinging to the slowly slipping fingers of its other half. I didn't even know him. I didn't even actually hear him. I just read his pain on a Twitter thread, and I realised that my soul had split too, a long time ago in a beautiful town as dry as a bone. Sends chills through every single one of mine when I stop to picture her in my busy brain. Yes, my heart is stuck in a laborious loop, reliving the 11th of September, St. John's Eve, over and over, wrapping our hands and our hopes to the days when the sun shone for me because I was Catalonia's daughter. Don't you know, I'm the princess of Port Aventura. All I taste is pleasure when I eat with my eyes closed. I avoid all armadas that come to claim me, because I am the darling of the sea, hiding under roaring waves that are rainbows in the bright sunshine. And as I heard a man once say to me, and you can say that he was a drunk heroin addict who didn't know what he was saying, but I told you I'm a princess, and that means I'm the boss. And that means I can take it as a compliment if I want to. Yes, he told me I can never be captured. I can never be captured. If I never open my eyes again, bidding goodbye to clear beaches and red and yellow skies, then eventually my soul will wrap all around me, tripping me up and taking me home where I belong. I think sometimes a place can be, you know, the love of your life, maybe. It's certainly safer than it being a person, that's for sure. But, you know, for me, there are places that I've called home at times of my life, you know, as a child, as an adult, to a lesser extent. And I miss them, you know, and it's like, you feel them calling out to you and you can't be there because you're somewhere else now and you have responsibilities and shit and you can't just go back, you know, and it's hard to be parted from somewhere that you love, you know, perhaps more so than someone you love, because when it's someone you can maybe talk to them or, you know, something like that, but there's nothing like going home and just feeling so at one with yourself and the place you love. But I sort of started thinking about this because I was on Twitter and I was reading this thread and the opening lines about the heart in the east, but the rest of him in the west. I read that and I just thought, oh, I know that feel. This person in particular was talking about Israel, but I was thinking of somewhere else. And I just thought, let me just stop everything I'm doing and start writing about that. Because, you know, welcome to my life. This happens all the time. It's a wonder I actually get anything else done, honestly. But I just felt this strong solidarity, you know. It hit me very hard and I was like, ah, there we are. That's emotional as fuck. He said, let's get some drinks. A confusing cross between a question and an order. And I thought, who the fuck does this stranger think he's talking to? But I whispered, sorry, I have a boyfriend, and ran home, watching the scene over my shoulder to ensure I was alone. I actually wrote that when I was on the way home one night, because somebody said that to me, this guy that I'd never met before. I was looking for something in my bag, and he came up to me, and he was standing very close to me, like, you know, serial killer close. And he said, let's go get some drinks. And I, you know, like I said, in my head, I'm thinking, excuse you, bitch, I don't know you. But I knew if I said that, that could potentially end badly for me, because I can fucking read. I've seen the stories in the media where things like that go badly, right? I'm not going to sit here and assume men can't read and they don't know this. So, I mean, that's something to think about. But, you know, and so obviously I did the whole thing. I used to, in my youth, I used to do two things. Number one, I used to pretend I didn't speak English, but I can't do that anymore. Thanks to smartphones, everybody has fucking Google Translate, like, a click away. And so people started, like, translating when I... because I used to just, like, speak to them in, like, you know, some other language, like Spanish or something. And they'd be, like, translating it and saying, oh, you're saying you don't speak English. And I'm like, fuck, no, the jig is up. They're able to communicate with me. I can't pretend that we can't communicate anymore. Fuck. So, that doesn't work anymore. I used to pretend as well sometimes that I was a lesbian, but there was an unfortunate incident in which I said that to the wrong person, and they started lecturing me about how being a lesbian was wrong. So I stopped doing that as well, because I found that very, you know, disturbing and kind of intimidating. So now I just sort of go with the standard, I've got a boyfriend, because I don't know, apparently, you know, that means more to them than just, I don't want to have this conversation go away. And you know, this is the thing, I'm very aware that it is not all men that lack the decorum to leave strangers the fuck alone and mind their business. But, like, are we going to do anything about the ones that don't? Because, seriously, you know, and in the same week that I wrote this, after this happened, I was at the shops, and I can't drive. You guys know this. So I was waiting for a taxi, right? And this guy comes up to me, he says, have you ordered a taxi? And I was thinking, okay, maybe it's the driver. And I was like, yeah, I have. And he said, cancel it. And I was like, excuse me? And he said, well, I'll give you a lift wherever you're going. And I was like, no thanks, bye. And I just literally, I was like, sort of, you know, sort of taking my shopping and just sort of trying to get over the other side of the car park, because, sis, I've watched enough documentaries on, like, Ted Bundy and shit to know. And my mum taught me, don't take rides from strangers and shit. So, but it just astounded me that he thought that that was a normal thing to say to someone you've never met before. You know, cancel your safe and licensed ride home and get in the car of a stranger that you've literally never met. Did he think I was stupid? Like, that's a genuine question. Did he think I was thick? Did he think I was just going to be like, yeah, all right then. You know, this seems like the beginning of a murder mystery film, but fuck it, why not? Like, you know what I mean? Just almost the arrogance of it, that I should just trust this person I've never fucking met before and just get in their car as he takes me to God knows where, because I'm not driving that car. I can't control where it's going. I can tell him, okay, you know, this is where I'm going. And that's another thing, actually. To do that, I would have to give this complete stranger my address. Bitch, what the fuck? Like, when you order a taxi, at least you know that the person has been, you know, vetted, they've been referenced, as far as I know, I think they're DBS checked as well, which is like police checks and that. So you know that they're a normal person, you know, and obviously there's, you know, conduct that they have to adhere to. There's codes of conduct and things in their workplace. They're not allowed to, do you know what I mean? So it's safe. But a complete stranger that I've never met who's just approached me outside of Asda. No, I'm not getting in your car. No, I'm not giving you my address. Fuck off. Like, this is the thing. I do not have random compulsions to talk to strangers at all, really. Let alone ask them to come off with me to different places. Like, I don't get it. And some of them, like, if you kind of challenge them about this, they're like, I just want to get to know you. And I'm like, why? What, do you not have friends? Leave me alone. I'm not, do you know what I mean? Like, if it was someone who, like, I don't know, messaged me on, like, a dating app or something, fair enough, because I've made it clear that that's what I'm there for. But if I'm just walking down the street trying to mind my fucking business, or if I'm just waiting for a taxi at Asda to go home after I've just done some late night shopping, because this is the thing, actually, it was one of those 24-hour ones, and it was, like, quite late. So that was sort of upping the weirdness factor. But do you know what I mean? If I'm just minding my business, leave me alone. Okay, I think it's just time we say this, you know, leave me alone. I'm just trying to do what I'm trying to do. You know what I mean? I don't want to talk. I don't want to, you know, deal with your entitlement and your attitude right now. I just want to fucking do my shopping or walk home or, you know, listen to what I'm doing. And you know, I can't be bothered. And the thing is when you talk about this, people will be like, oh, but not all men. Well, that's fine. But that doesn't take away from the fact that there are some of them doing it and nobody seems that bothered. Apart from women, obviously. You know, it's all well and good to sit there and say not all men. But I mean, they're more likely to listen to you about this than they are to me, mate, because otherwise, why do you think I have to keep telling, you know, people, oh, I've got a boyfriend or I've got a husband or something? You know what I mean? They take it more seriously if you tell them, actually, no, there is another man who got in there first, than when you just tell them, no, I don't want to talk to you. You know, so why is this my problem to fix this? You know what I mean? I didn't fucking start this. I'm not out here talking to randoms on the street. Like, and here's the other thing of this, actually. I've just thought of this. What if I'm a serial killer? Did you think about that? Did you? What if, you know, as the meme once said, what if I'm the monster that's been here all along? You know, what if this guy gets me in his car and then I kill him? Like Eileen Wuornos. Like, is that what you want? No? Well, then leave me the fuck alone. I might just start saying that. I might just, when someone asks me, you know, do you want to, you know, okay. The language that the guy that I wrote about used, that was what pissed me off the most. It was, let's get drinks. It was not, would you like to go for a drink? Because as annoying as that would have been, I could accept it. I could be like, okay, he's giving me options here. He's saying, would you like to? He's not assuming that I will. But let's go and get. I can't. Anyway, but you know, you say that to me, you get me to go off with you, you get me in your car. Well, what if I turn around and it turns out I'm a serial killer? Then what are you going to do? Then whose fault is it going to be? It'll actually, do you know what? In all the reporting, it'll probably still be mine because, you know, women are blamed for everything. So, yeah, maybe we can all just think about that. Rather than saying not all men, just say, yeah, there are some men doing this and it's a problem and we should do something about it. Instead of getting mad at me for being mad at this constant nonsense. I have shit to do. I don't have time to deal with this. You know what I mean? And I mean, I'm not even like super pretty. You know what I mean? Like, God help the girls that actually are. Like, fuck. You know what I mean? Like, I'm just a bitch minding her business, trying to get home, you know? Let me live. She said she loved the scent of the stars that fell into her lap as she ascended to the air. The world belonged to her, looking luxurious from so high up. And it was beautiful, like the pictures in the book she'd borrowed from the lonely library of the ghost town she had risen from, an overzealous zombie with ideas too big for the place. Yes, it was beautiful, like the girl she saw at the coffee shop in the endless spin classes. Pretty dolls, never too tall or too small. Green smoothies, heavenly bodies that left her green with envy. Till she remembered, she was in Hollywood. She could play any role she wanted. Yes, it was beautiful. The world was beautiful. The girls were beautiful. Her friends were beautiful. Her home was beautiful. Her hair was beautiful, her dreams were beautiful, her drugs were beautiful, her loves were beautiful, her bank balance was beautiful, her life was beautiful, just all so beautiful. Until life began to crawl up the clouds and into her lap, crushing the stars and clawing at her hair, ascending her extensions to confront her. She said she wanted it all, until she had it. But don't we all? There are a lot of people, even some that I know, that have their heart set on moving to LA and Hollywood and those kinds of places, and they think that it's gonna fix all of their problems and they'll be very happy. But from what I can see, not to be a bitch about it, but a lot of people there aren't actually very happy at all. I know someone who, she makes like videos and stuff, and she moved there and she thought it was going to make everything better. And well, it didn't. And she spent a lot of her time feeling very like intimidated by everyone around her. You know, I think maybe because everyone there is so pretty, no one notices that maybe a lot of them are very unhappy. Because like everyone I've ever spoken to who's like, even just people who go there on holiday, they don't seem to have a great time. And, you know, even people that you don't know and you see them and they live there and, you know, they can look so happy, but then there's just this sadness behind them. I think part of it is because everyone builds it up as a place where you can go and all of your dreams will come true. But then you get there and guess what? Everyone else had the same idea. Everyone else is there trying to make their dreams come true. And you start to feel intimidated and like you're not enough. And like maybe you're stupid and you thought you were special and actually you're not. And it all kind of builds up on top of you, and you can do little things to try and build yourself back up, but just that doubt, man, it's fucked up. But I think we're lucky at the moment because we live in a time when you can kind of make your dreams come true from wherever you are. And so you don't need to go to a place that's all full up of dreams and potential downfalls. You can disappoint yourself wherever you are. No, I'm kidding. You know, I guess obviously I wish everyone happiness and joy. It's just very sad to me that there's like a whole place where there's a lot of people there who are sad, and I think that's very sad. And I hope that they'll be okay. I took you on a scenic route, 10 minutes across town that took 43. Forgive little old me for my inability to read a map or to read your face. The look that says you could be irritated or possibly amused. Stick with me, kid. I have no clue where I'm going, but I'm good company for the right girl. You kept asking me to ask for directions, but I'm deceptively shy, an extravagant introvert who only ventures from her shell for a knock that you know how to do. And none of these strangers who may have directions know the particular incantation. The secret was, you knew all along that I was leading us up the garden path and off the planet, by innocent accident. But you were too sweet on me and the wide-eyed way I wandered. My silly smile at the ground as we arrived at yet another dead end. But you couldn't stand to take the initiative. So we walked, aimlessly, but happily, pointing at street after street, consulting a map that I could not read, because I failed geography, and because my eyes were too busy with the scenic sweetheart beside me. I actually wrote that last one on Friday when I was waiting to be called on stage to perform at She Growls, which is a great event, and you guys should really check it out. They run every month in London at the Poetry Cafe, and it's just a really great atmosphere, and there's so many really talented, amazing people, and it's really fun. But I made a mistake, okay? So I was looking up like how to get there, because you know I'm always looking to kind of try and find an easier way of getting somewhere if possible, and I hate Covent Garden tube station because reasons. It's a stressful atmosphere in that station, I'm telling you, I hate it. So I was like, okay, so I looked it up, and apparently it was only like a 10-minute walk from Charing Cross. So I was like, okay, yeah, that's fine. I'll just get a train to Charing Cross and I'll just walk, not a problem. So I got to Charing Cross about 6:30, right? And I needed to be at the Poetry Cafe for 7:30 at the latest, but ideally for about 7. And I thought, you know what? I've got half an hour. It's a 10-minute walk. It's not going to be a problem for me. What I didn't factor in is the fact that I have literally no sense of direction. So I got it up on Google Maps, right? And I'm walking along all smug. I know where I'm going. Everything's fine. I know where I'm going. I did not know where I was going, actually. I ended up walking in the wrong direction for about 20 minutes. And then I looked at the map and I was like, why does the destination keep getting further and further away? What the hell? And I'm just sort of thinking to myself, have you walked the wrong way? Is that what you've done? And I'm and there's this other part of me that's like, no, of course not. No, it's fine. The first voice was right, I had. So I had to kind of find out where I was and end up walking back the other way. it was a mess. And I was just like, fuck's sake, why does this always happen to me? Because it happens to me anytime I try and go anywhere, even with a map that was shouting directions at me. The app was telling me, go this way. And I'm just like, no, it's fine. I know what I'm doing. I didn't know what I'm doing. I can't believe it. And it just made me think of so many different times when exactly that has happened to me. And it's fine if I'm on my own, although it's not ideal if I have a set time I'm supposed to be there. Honestly, I got there at like 7:20 because I kept walking in different wrong directions. I got there eventually, but there was a time when I really didn't think I would, honestly, because sis. Anyway, I guess it's fine if I'm on my own, but when I'm with other people, it's embarrassing. And it reminded me of this time. I wasn't specifically trying to get to Covent Garden. I was actually trying to go somewhere else in London. But I was with this person, and I'm, you know, because at the best of times, I'm like, I know where I'm going. It's fine. I don't need an app to tell me. I know where I'm going, you know, just sort of out of ego, really, and arrogance. But when there's someone else there, it gets like 10 times worse, because it's like, I don't want to look like an idiot in front of them. So I'm like, no, it's fine. We're definitely going the right way. No, this is just, I just, yes, I wanted to show you this over here. Yes, that's why we've come this way. I know to you, it probably seems like we're going the wrong way, but actually, I definitely meant to do this, you know? And it's just, I don't know. But I think maybe getting lost is okay if you're getting lost with someone that you like a lot, because then at least you can sort of trick them into spending more time with you. But I mean, it's also kind of embarrassing if this is something that happens to you all the time, which it does for me. But you know, I need to marry someone who's really good at geography or something. That's what I need to do, and they can tell me where I'm going at all times. Not that I'll listen to them, though, but there we are. At least someone will be trying to set me in the right direction. Okay, that's all for tonight's episode, but I will see you again next week, next Sunday, next whenever. Oh my god. If you wanted to find more of my work, you can at my website, which is jenniferwan.com. The link is also in the description, where you can find lots of free to access content like videos, obviously these podcasts. There's some written projects there as well. And also you can get all the details about paid content as well, that you can buy if you want to. You can also support my work on, I'm just going to decide it's pronounced Patreon. Fuck it. Who's going to tell me I'm wrong? I mean, you know, this is my podcast and I do what I like. So yeah, you can support me on Patreon for as little as $1 subscriptions start from, and you get lots of exclusive content, behind the scenes content, early content. You get some of the paid content for free. You get access to my private Instagram account, which has lots of really cool content on there. And until the end of April, new and existing subscribers will get, at the end of the month, we'll be shipping them out. You will get an exclusive piece of merchandise that you cannot get anywhere else at all. So that's fun for you, I suppose. You can find me on social media with the username Miss J Squared on Twitter, Instagram, Tumblr, Facebook, all the cool places that the kids are. What else? Oh, I'm performing again tomorrow, by the way, in Islington, in London, it's an event called the Poets Dictionary. So that's tomorrow. Do you know, I've said that, I don't actually think there's any tickets left. I think it is sold out, so sorry. But if you did buy them, I guess I'll see you there. But I will also, I'll be performing in July at the Leamington Poetry Festival. As Malcolm Tucker once said, it's never too soon to go to Leamington, and I will be. And you can see me, I'll be reading poetry and probably complaining about how it's hard for me to read poetry because I'm not wearing my glasses, because that's just the kind of bitch I am. But yeah, the tickets are on sale for that now, and there is a link for that in the description as well as on my website. I wanted to thank my friend Amanda, who's been amazing and supportive, and I love her very much. And with that, I bid you good day. Good night, my love.